Hello, and welcome to a short CPD-style listen on high-risk pregnancy in general practice, twins, the new ADIPS gestational diabetes numbers, continuous glucose monitors, and when a growth scan should not sit in the inbox. This episode is based on a Gold Coast seminar with an obstetrician and gynecologist. The audiophile does not state a name, so this listen does not invent one. Clinic context as spoken, rooms at Pindara, a bulk-billed early pregnancy loss clinic, close work with Pink Elephant. This is education for clinic thinking, not personal medical advice. He opened with two handouts. One is the spiel about the clinic. Refer miscarriage, recurrent miscarriage, or ectopic. Fully bulk billed. They do not need private health. He will see them within about 48 hours, from his Pindara rooms. It has dwindled because he stopped advertising. He used to keep a morning slot. He is happy to look after them again. The other sheet is the support list he gives after every miscarriage, Pink Elephant, Bears of Hope, SANS, and the psychologists he has used for women's health and pregnancy loss over about 14 years. Photocopy it or put it on your letterhead. Then the actual topic. Gold Coast Health is doing more share care. More high-risk patients are coming back to GPS, learning points, when to get urgent specialist involvement, the new ADIPS guidelines and who gets an early glucose tolerance test, continuous glucose monitoring, which he is using a lot more. Ultrasound findings in fetal growth restriction, what Dopplers mean, because they are easy to miss, and when to make an urgent tertiary referral. Stillbirth, prematurity, diabetes, growth restriction. Early referral saves lives. Three twin types. DCDA, two placentas, two sacs, about 80%. Bread and butter. Essentially two pregnancies in the same uterus. Lowest risk of the twin-specific vascular problems. He had about six on his books. Some are already in GP share care. MCDA, one placenta, two sacs, about 15%. Twin-twin transfusion, TAPS, selective growth restriction, higher stillbirth. You may not be the named carer, but you will still see the ultrasound that could not get back into the hospital. MCMA, one placenta, one sac. Tertiary. Cord entanglement. Often born around 30 to 32 weeks, which is not always appropriate in a private hospital. Why more twins if IVF is now one embryo? Aging population, and a lot of letrozole. Not so much IVF. Early DCDA looks like a singleton, NIPT, 13-week scan. The preeclampsia risk algorithm does not work in twins. NIPT still does. Vanishing twin, postpone NIPT. The vanished twin's DNA is often abnormal, and that is why the test comes back abnormal. Sex chromosomes, two girls you can say, any Y and you do not know if it is one boy or two. From 20 weeks, DCDA needs morphology then every 4 weeks, and it should be tertiary level. Not paradise, not South Coast. Private, Queensland for women. Public, maternal fetal medicine at Gold Coast Health. MCDA and MCMA, from 16 weeks, every 2 weeks. The two tertiary private scanners on the Coast bulk bill after 5 scans, because you hit 5 quickly. Twin-twin transfusion versus TAPS. Both are abnormal placental vessels. Twin-twin, big twin, small twin, polyhydramnios and oligohydramnios. TAPS, hemoglobin and viscosity. Growth and liquor can look almost equal. The clue is a very abnormal middle cerebral artery Doppler. Ironic physiology, the small twin often does better at birth. The bigger twin is often the one in trouble. The smaller twin has been under stress, organs mature, cortisol is high. DCDA can still have growth problems, one uterus, two pregnancies. Some discordance is normal. Around 20% is where you start worrying. 25% is very concerning. In MCDA, after about 25% you are pretty much assuming twin-twin transfusion. One twin below the 10th percentile, refer. Preeclampsia is much more common in twins. Reduced movements, he is more cautious with twins. Two babies, if she says movements are down, it is generally real. Ask her to try to tell twin 1 from twin 2. Gestational diabetes. About 7 or 8 years ago fasting dropped from 5.5 to 5.0. They expected a 5% rise in labels. It went from about 10% to about 23%. A lot of diet-controlled babies had a label and no issues. So they chose halfway, 5.3. No dedicated trial. Smart people in a room. The set he walked, fasting 5.3, 1 hour, the middle one, significant, and 2 hour 9.0. In the room he first said 10.5, then 10.9, a GP said 10.6 and he agreed. Request a standard GTT. You should get all three numbers. Do not ignore a high 1 hour, because fasting and 2 hour look fine. Higher values diagnose type 2 diabetes, not gestational diabetes. A fasting above that, consider going straight to insulin. HbA1c is the last 3 months. She should not have had gestational diabetes for 3 months at booking, so he is not a fan of HbA1c as a standalone diagnostic. It still has a use at booking. The old high-risk list all got an early GTT, previous gestational diabetes, BMI over 25, age, PCOS, family history, previous 4-kilo baby, previous stillbirth, lots of births, thyroid, high-risk ethnicity, he named Aboriginal and Asian. The tweak, foremost of that list, booking HbA1c and a fasting glucose are now enough. A fasting above 5.5 was the number in that sentence. The only people who still need a proper early GTT, as he summarized it, previous gestational diabetes, which he strongly recommends, and those with a high booking HbA1c or fasting. If HbA1c is under 6, you do not need an early GTT just because they sit on the high-risk table. He likes this. Young, lean, fit women with PCOS do not need a GTT for the label. Guidelines say early GTT as early as possible after a high booking result. He thinks 10 or 11 weeks is mean. He times it around 15 weeks after the 13-week scan, so you know the pregnancy is ongoing. He has had people miscarry after a GTT and blame the test. By 15 weeks they are usually happier to drink the load. The room noted vomiting. Someone mentioned something sweet beforehand, he said that does not change the result. Universal screening still, almost everyone gets a GTT around 24 to 28 weeks. Exceptions are where CGM comes in. He is using CGM a lot more to look at gestational diabetes. He said twice, there are no official guidelines that say CGM diagnoses it yet. He is not telling you to ignore the guideline. 7 or 10 days depending on the device. Same window as the GTT, he usually does 26 to 28 weeks. Working rule, 80% of fastings below 5.5, 80% of post-meal readings below 6.8. They Bluetooth to the phone. Hit the app on waking and 2 hours after meals. You get a printout. Diabetes educators put them on, so do GPS. It sticks on. Anyone with a gastric sleeve must not have a GTT. They dump. They do not absorb the load. Most tests will be falsely positive. Fertility often rebounds after a sleeve. Traditional fallback was HbA1c, not very accurate. CGM is what is working. A GTT is also one moment in time. Plenty of people fail a fasting on the GTT and never have another high fasting all pregnancy. When do you leave diet for metformin or metformin for insulin? 3 high readings in 1 week when diet is already optimized. Christmas party, MacCas, baby shower, not the week to start a medicine. Chicken and broccoli, they did their best, still high, that week earns a step up. Growth? Small for gestational age versus fetal growth restriction. He used less than the 10th versus less than the 3rd. Not all small babies are pathological. The common estimated weight formula is Australian. It does not include ethnicity. Aboriginal, Asian, and subcontinent babies are often smaller. A symmetrically small baby may just be constitutional. Head circumference and abdominal circumference should be pretty much the same. Early symmetrical restriction that is not just constitutional, think aneuploidy, especially without NIPT, and think congenital infection, especially CMV. Asymmetrical restriction is the placental story. Head relatively spared, body small. Brain sparing. A big warning sign. CMV, the guideline says test at the start of pregnancy if they are high risk, around small children, healthcare, childcare. That is about 90% of his mums, so he tests CMV with all the antenatal bloods and suggested you do too. If a childcare worker is already immune, he can say keep going. If not, saliva and urine. Hand washing. Do not share food or bottles. The one people forget is wiping noses and coughs. Do not read estimated weight alone. Liquor is fetal urine. If they have been fed, they should be weaning. Dopplers matter. He had a Doppler-Biedoppler-section and ran out of time, so this listen does not invent the missing numbers. Growth velocity matters. Fifth is growing along its line. 80th to 60th to 40th is falling off potential, even if the baby is not tiny. He closed with the forms. Mobile number on the letterhead. Call even if they are not his patients. The diabetes educator in the rooms is independent. Type 1 and type 2 as well. You can refer to her without referring to him. Take homes. Bulk build early pregnancy loss clinic at Pindara, about 48 hours. DCDA is 2 pregnancies, MCDA is transfusion and TAPS, MCMA is tertiary. Delay NIPT after a vanishing twin. Twin scans from mid-pregnancy belong at Queensland for women or hospital maternal fetal medicine. Discordance, worry from 20%. Diagnose gestational diabetes on 5.3, 10.6, 9.0, as spoken in the room, check current adipts before you quote them. Most high-risk women now get booking HbA1c and fasting, not an automatic early GTT. He times an early GTT around 15 weeks. CGM is not official diagnosis, it is useful when they refuse a GTT, and it is the tool after a gastric sleeve. 3 high readings in a real diet week before you step up. Small is not always restricted. Look at symmetry, liquor, Dopplers, and velocity. Test CMV. That is the educational summary from the high-risk pregnancy seminar. Thanks for listening.